Happy Father's Day, everybody. June 19th, 2016. I've been doing this series about building. You know, we talked about how Moses built the tabernacle, but since today's Father's Day, I thought, why not talk about how to build a courageous man, how to build a courageous husband and father? You know, over a year ago, we did a study with the men here at the church called Stepping Up by Dennis Rainey. On page 96 of his book, he made this statement. Stepping up and being a man is not a one-time event. It's a journey of 1,000 courageous steps and 1,000,000,000 small ones. I don't know if jillion's a word or not, but it was in there. And he said in there, stepping up to courageous manhood is a lifetime process. Today for Father's Day, I'd like to give you 3 things that I need you to do if you want to be a courageous husband or a courageous dad, a courageous man. There is also one thing I would like to share with you that you should resist if you desire to be a courageous man. So let's start with that thing you need to resist. And in your listening guide, I put it in there. The courage is to resist, and you fill in the word temptation because you see it in the news on a regular basis. Politicians, athletes, celebrities who admit they've been cheating on their wives. Temptation is about the lure towards sin. Satan is a master angler who knows exactly where our weaknesses are. Satan is an expert at presenting you with the bait that is designed perfectly for you. Temptation isn't sin. It's when we swallow it and act on it that it becomes sin. And it can destroy our lives. James 1 says it this way, starting in verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, verse 13 starts out, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by, and get this, their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. He closes out in verse 16 by saying, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Now 1 Corinthians 10:13 says to this about concerning temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But you, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. 1 Corinthians 15:33. This should be on every teenager's chest of drawers, on their mirror. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, you might not think it takes much courage to face your temptations, but it does. Feel this word on your listening guide. Accountability is a proactive step towards never underestimating the power of temptation. If you're sitting here today as a man, as a dad, as a husband, you need to do what Paul wrote to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Temptation never ceases as we grow older. We're all just one very slippery step away from creating a lot of heartache for us, our spouse, and our children. One foolish choice made in a moment of weakness can wipe out years of integrity. Martin Luther King said this, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expectancy asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And that's what we need to be doing every day. Is it right? Is it lining up with God's word? So the thing you need to resist in your life, if you want to be a courageous man, is temptation. Now, 3 things that as men, that as husbands, as dads in this generation, we need, we should be. It's so important that we have
the courage to believe. That's where it starts, the courage to believe. George Gelder, an American investor, writer, co-founder of the Discovery Institute, who is a dad and had four children, said this: men lust, but they know not what for. They wander, they lose track of the goal, they fight and compete, but they forget the prize. And they spread seed, but spurn the season of growth. They chase power and glory, but miss the meaning of life. That's a powerful statement. And as men, we have to realize and determine these two things. What do I know and what do I believe? It's so important. Dennis Rainey, who is a husband and a dad with six children and 22 grandchildren, said this in his book, Stepping Up. Oh, I love this. He said, spiritually speaking, I treated Jesus Christ like a spare tire, pulling him out of the trunk in an emergency and then putting him back when the crisis is over. Know any men like that? I realized that Jesus Christ didn't come to be a spare tire. He didn't come to be a hitchhiker or even a passenger in the front seat. He came to be the driver and master of my life. And as a man, as a husband, as a dad sitting here today, can you look at Christ and like that? Is Jesus the master and driver of your life? Or let me say it this way, as a man, are you majoring in the minors? Minors being things that in the end really don't matter. Or are you majoring in the majors? You'll find out what the majors are in this book. You'll find out how to love your wife like Christ in this book. You'll find out how to parent your children like God wants you to in this book. And you're listening, God, I put, was that you, Bill? Praise God. In your listening, God, I put this, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord demands faith and courage like no other decision in your life. And it remains the most important commitment that you'll ever make. It's where everything starts. You have to have a belief in Christ. Of course, once you make that decision, and many of us here have, to yield their life to Christ, the rest of your life lies ahead. And there's some additional decisions you'll have to make to mark your passage as a man. How about this? Will you let God define your identity as a man? Identity's all messed up in the world now. But will you let God define your identity as a man? Because when a man defines himself and attempts to determine his identity apart from God, he's left to compare himself with others. And that's a low and dangerous standard. A real man finds his essence and his identity in his Creator. No man will understand who he is and what his ultimate assignment on planet Earth is apart from knowing God. A.W. Tozer, who had seven children, said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing to us. What a statement. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we're really short of real men in this generation today, because we've really lost the fear of God in our lives. The majority of Proverbs in the Old Testament were written by a father to a son to introduce him to God and equip him for his life. It says this in the first chapter of Proverbs: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It means that we as men, we're supposed to have skill in everyday living. Fearing God is the starting point of being a real man, being a courageous man. And as you study the Scripture and as you understand who God is, you will realize that you are not the center of the universe. God is. And you will realize that you don't call the shots in your life. God is. So as a man and as a husband, I guess on Father's Day, I'm supposed to ask you these questions. Will you humble yourself in submission to God? Will you make choices realizing that God is everywhere present, sees all, and knows all? Will you live your life not to please yourself, but to please others? Will you understand that we will someday give an account of our life to God? Will you realize that His presence in your life will motivate you to turn away from temptation, evil, and sin? I feel like I need to pause and pray. If you just bow your heads. Father, just thank you for this opportunity today, Lord. Gosh, I want to encourage dads today, Father. But at the same time, I want to help equip them, because I know that is your goal for the church, Lord. That's your goal for every leader of the church, Father, to live your good and pleasing and perfect will out to everybody who walks in this building, Lord. And Father, I pray that as I read these scriptures today, as I make these statements today about fatherhood, Lord, that we'll never forget them. Father, I pray for the teenagers who are here. I pray for the young men who are here to realize that one day when they become a man, they're going to set those foolish things aside, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, where I think about the way I used to think, or the way I used to talk, or the way I used to act, those foolish things we do when we're young, Father. But Father, we want to equip people here. We want to disciple people here. We want men to be passionate about your word and passionate about loving their wives and passionate about raising their children in the way they should go, because your word says when they get older, they won't depart from it. And Father, we see a lot of departing today in this generation, Father. But we want to be steadfast. We want to be unmovable. We want to be so excited about worshiping you and growing in you and making a difference for you, Father, that we will see your spirit fall in this place like it did during that song today. That we will see your love manifest through us, Father. That we would come alongside of each other, Father, and maybe even what Jude wrote, to snatch people out of the fire, Father. So, Father, give us that hunger today. In Jesus' name, amen. The next courage I want to talk about is the courage to initiate. This is very important in manhood. Initiative is the essence of manhood. Nothing comes to the man who is passive except failure. Men are not meant to be spectators. Real men accept a word that maybe teenagers, maybe you hear your parents use this word a lot, responsibility. Has you ever heard that word in your house before? Praise God. Real men accept responsibility rather than making excuses for and to look for solutions instead of casting blame. Real men, real husbands, real dads reject that I'm a victim, so let me off the hook mentality and find ways to push ahead through the storm. On the other end, the disengaged man, whether single or married, will settle for diluted, bland maleness. Life happens to him. He doesn't happen to life. His expectations are low, and so are his achievements. I hope you're not counting on him. I hope you're not him. Why is it that some men can initiate great tasks and conquer overwhelming obstacles at work and yet remain passive in their relationships or in leading in the home? None of us are exempt to this passivity virus that seems to be going around the United States. Here are some what I would call lame excuses for men who don't take the initiative when faced with a duty or challenge. Taking the initiative is hard work. And I'm tired. I think it just comes down to selfishness and laziness as the cause for most passivity. I don't know how to initiate, or taking the initiative means I might fail. And I really think in today's generation, I think the fear of failure creates a gravitational pull towards passivity. But real men and real husbands and real dads, they take action, and when they do, great things will happen. And another study we did here with the men on Wednesday nights a couple of years ago was called the 33 Series Authentic Manhood, and Volume 5 called A Man and His Marriage. The author made this statement. Part of our role in a marriage is to reject relational passivity and take the initiative and cultivate a great friendship with our wife. Here's my favorite verse in the Bible about husbands. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And if you do that, it says, so nothing will hinder your prayers. In your listening guide today, I put a couple half sheets in there, like for, I did extra credit this week. 10 questions to discuss with your spouse. Take the time this week to sit down with your spouse. Take a half hour and discuss these questions today. They're very important. Seriously. Because I think if you take the time to sit down with your wife and go over these questions with her, your wife is going to be excited that you want to know how she feels about important issues in her life and your marriage. Men, asking these questions and listening to your wife's answer will help you understand your wife's need. Also, I put something in here for the teenagers today. 7 ways to connect with your dad. I got an email from Lifeway from this lady who wrote these 7 needs out. Look at them. Read them. Seriously. Another thing that's so important for men that I want to share in Father's Day, and I've fallen short many times with this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've been great with this, but I'm going to tell you how important it is that you initiate this in your marriage, and that's praying daily with your wife. Praying daily with your wife. This will help you from building walls up in your marriage. This will help you in forgiving each other. This will help you both to keep going in the same direction. If you take that few minutes a day and put your arm around your bride and just pray for them. And if you miss a day, pick it up the next day and pray together. And I really feel that men, the dads who initiate prayer with their wives, will come to see a dramatic different relationship with them. Prayer brings hope, peace, growth, a closeness that will help you prepare for you to love each other like you've never been before. So far we've looked at the courage to believe and the courage to initiate. The last courage that I want to talk about today to a man, to a dad, to a husband is a courage to protect. This is very important. Because what I feel America needs right now is real men who won't slither away from an issue or a battle. The politician Edmund Burke, who lived in the 1700s, he had 3 children. He made this statement, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." When it comes to evil invading a man's life and his marriage and his children's lives and his work and his community, the easiest thing for him to do is nothing. We're losing many battles, I put in your listening guide, with evil today because too many good men have done just that, nothing. Doing nothing is like gravity, it just happens. Nothing is the fruit of passivity. Nothing is the consequence of a lack of conviction. Nothing is a byproduct of lazy leadership at the home. Doing nothing expresses no risk, no initiative, and experiences no reward or triumph. Doing nothing is the natural bent of most men. The easiest thing to do is nothing. Cowards do nothing. One of the greatest lies in our day is that one man, one husband, one dad can make a difference. Can make a difference in your home, a difference in your neighborhood, a difference in the workplace. And as a single man, and if you're here today and you're single, you can protect the innocence of a single woman you're dating by being a noble man of character and keeping your hands off of her. As a husband and a father, you're a warrior who has been charged with the duty of pushing back against evil that seeks to prey on your wife or your daughters or your son. And if you don't step up, who will? When you think about protecting your family, perhaps probably the first thing you would come to mind is keeping your house locked at night, holding your child's hand on a crowded sidewalk, or investigating a strange sound downstairs in the middle of the night, or training your children on what to do if a fire breaks out in your house. Those things are important. But what I would like to share today are some other responsibilities for dads. If you want to be a dad who wants to be courageous in protecting your wife and your children, you need to establish boundaries to protect your marriage. Like not meeting with another woman by yourself unless the door is open or the windows open or the blinds are up. Not having lunch alone with another woman. Not traveling alone in a car with another woman. Or how about a man who is courageous, helps his wife with chores around the house? How about taking out your wife for dates or getaways? How about protecting your children by training them about the choices that they would make? How about protecting your daughters by dating them and later interviewing their dates? Praise God. Have a gun out. Praise God. How about protecting your family by working with your wife to set up boundaries regarding media? How about setting standards on the type of movies or television shows that you watch? How about rules concerning your children and the access they have to the internet? How about the boundaries for your cell phones and texting and video games? How about installing filters to protect them? In the Stepping Up book by Dennis Rainey, he made this statement: a trained warrior also has battlefield vision that anticipates the future. He scans the horizon and accesses dangers that are coming so that he can prepare for them. And realizing that as a dad, as a husband, you're never off duty, man. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And all we have to do is turn on the news every night, and we'll see the evil that's being prevalent in this nation and in this world. It takes courage for a man to step up and push back against evil. It will mean that you really won't go with the flow. You can't fight every battle, but you can get involved when the opportunities come your way. It may mean taking a stand for decency in your community. On this Father's Day, I want to tell you, when men don't step up, the cost of doing nothing means that indecency, immorality, and other deviant behaviors become the norm of the culture. Band, if you want to come forward. Our children and grandchildren will pay the ultimate price if we turn our heads to what we see escalating in this country. Truth and love must be kept in proper tension with each other. And the bottom line today on Father's Day, as husbands and dad, is this: God made men to pierce the darkness. He didn't make us to fight every battle, but He did make us to stand for truth, to embrace standards. And when men, as men, if we don't embrace conviction, we'll be paralyzed and neutralized by this culture. They won't step forward and can't step up because they don't have the mandate of truth resounding in their souls. In the absence of real men pushing back against evil, the culture continues its downward spiral and becomes increasingly shameless, increasingly lewd, increasingly vulgar. You can come forward, ushers. As a dad, do not be overcome by evil. Step up and kindly overcome evil with good. On this Father's Day, I want to tell you to be a man, be a husband, be a dad who has the courage to believe, the courage to initiate, the courage to protect, and the courage to resist temptation. Father, I just thank you for today, Father. Father, thank you for those husbands here that are gallantly living your life. I know many men. I've spent many hours with men in Bible study sitting in this sanctuary. And Father, I just want to thank you for them. I mean, I could sit here and name them. There are men here that are passionate about knowing you, Lord, passionate about living out your word. And Father, they understand the scripture says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by your mind. So be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Father, I feel like I'm yelling at dads today, but at the same time, I want to encourage and thank those dads who are standing fast, who are holding firm, who are growing in you, Father, and acknowledging you, Lord, and raising their children in the way they should go. Father, help us to be a church who comes alongside. Father, help us to be a church who holds each other accountable and is there for each other to help each other in a time of turmoil, in a time of temptation. Father, help us to be the kind of men who will point other men to Christ, Father. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless our offering today, Father, and I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If there's some dads today who want to come up from prayer, if there might be some moms today who don't have a dad here that wants to come up and pray for them, we just want this altar to be open. We just want to use this time to worship. Thank you for being here today. We're passionate about his word, and we're passionate about our family here. Thank you, Lord.